This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, the Tiki and Tierney Show. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. On this pretty busy Thursday, a lot of James Harden stuff in the first hour. Could the Sixers make a play for the Rocket star Daryl Morey in the house and in charge? So certainly plausible. We'll get to Calais Campbell, joins us in 1 hour. And then after that, Steve Garvey, talk about the Dodgers and their championship. But this will be interesting, Teague. We've had him on the show before a couple times. The first time it was a full-fledged scale battle between you two. like, what's going on? These guys are going to start throwing punches. It was ugly. They've smoothed it all over since because we're all, you know, grown-ups at this point. And that is Gary Myers, longtime columnist for the Daily News, ton of TV. He's been entrenched in the business forever. He's done a ton of books and everything. But he's got this new thing out. It's called the GOAT Tom Brady podcast. It caught our attention, and we're going to talk about it. Gary, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
I'm doing great, BT. Hey, what's up, Tiki? How you doing, fellas?
I am fantastic, man. I haven't listened to an episode yet of The GOAT, but I'm looking forward to it because, obviously, he's the greatest, and we know he's the greatest. But tell us why you decided to do this. I know you've had plenty of interviews, including, you know, this back and forth with Peyton Manning and, you know, these rivalry games that he's been on. But why did you decide to do this project in podcast form?
Well, I was offered an opportunity. First of all,
nice. All right,
I'm sold. I'm in.
Thank you. Yes,
sure.
It's the company that they did one with Jack McCallum from Sports Illustrated on the Dream Team. He had written a book about the 92 Olympic basketball team, and they did a podcast called The Dream Team Tapes, and they decided that they wanted to, you know, follow that up because it was so successful, and it was based off of books that had been written. So they came to me and they asked me if I wanted to do one based on my Brady versus Manning book and to really start around Brady. They plan to do a series of GOAT podcasts, and they figured, you know, who better to start it with than Tom Brady. So I have, you know, the interviews from my book, and I have interviews I've done since then, and with, you know, just a whole list of people, you know, in and around Tom's life. And it's a 12-episode podcast, and I really take people through from his high school days and until today. It's a narrative, and I just kind of plug in different sound bites here and there. And, you know, so far, so good. The reviews have been really nice.
You know, Gary, you probably know more about Tom because of this than most people do. And I'm interested because there was a tidbit that I didn't think I realized that he had a disconnect with the University of Michigan because he felt underappreciated. And I know you talk about that in the second or third episode. But what else about Tom do we assume, but we just don't really know? What are we going to be surprised about when we listen to this and follow his journey from high school all the way now to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Well, Tiki, he was really forthcoming with me, and this was a few years ago, about his relationship with Belichick. And listen, I know it's not a common thing where a coach and a player would ever go out and get a pizza and a beer together, but I thought that after they had been together for 15 years or so and they had already won, you know, multiple Super Bowls, that maybe like on a Tuesday night as they're sitting in Belichick's office in Foxborough going over the game plan, you know, maybe Belichick would turn to Brady or the other way around and say, you know what? this is pretty freaking amazing what we've been able to do together. Or Belichick would, you know, might say to him, you know, Tom, it's 10 o'clock at night. I know there's not much open Foxborough on Route 1, but let's just go see if we can grab a beer together and, you know, just turn out the lights here. And he said he never got to know him that way at all.
Wow.
I mean, nothing on really a personal level, that they never discussed their accomplishments together. They never took time out from a working relationship to try to get to know either one, each other away from the field, so to speak. I just thought that, and again, it's not a common thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I never would have expected to see Tiki and Coughlin, you know, with Del Frisco's in Manhattan.
Yeah. But you know what? Gary, I used to hang out with Fossil. You know what I mean? So that was...
There you go. So, you know, maybe that does happen, and especially after two guys are, you know, in a different phase in their life where they've been in the league such a long time and they've accomplished so much, that maybe they would just, you know, take a step back and appreciate what each other has meant, what they've meant to each other. And they've never done that.
That's interesting.
And the other thing I was going to tell you is that I always felt that, you know, Tom's father is a really outspoken guy and very defensive of Tom, and especially during the Deflategate nonsense, as I would call it.
Yeah.
And he went on a radio show once in San Francisco where a host was criticizing Tom and calling him a cheater, and his dad called up the radio show and called and told the host there, I don't even remember who it was, he called Goodell a flaming liar on the air.
So I remember that story.
About a week after that, this was like in 2015, I think. It was right after my book came out, and the Patriots were defending Super Bowl champions, so they were opening the season at home against the Steelers. And I had some advanced copies of my book, and I wanted to give one to Tom's dad. So we made plans. We met up in like one of the clubs at Foxborough Stadium like a half hour before kickoff. And it's the first time I had met him, although I had spoken to him on many occasions. And I said, man, I mean, you really went after Goodell last week. What was Tom's reaction to that? He goes, Dad, you're not doing me any favors.
That's true. They were
because the whole thing wasn't settled at that point.
That's
right. He hadn't been, I think he had just, in the courts, he had just got the suspension overturned, which eventually, I got reinstated.
Yeah. So we're talking to Gary Myers, the host of the Go Tom Brady podcast. It's funny you bring up Tom's dad. I told Tiki this story once or twice over the 8 years we've been doing the show together. I was doing, when I was in San Francisco, I did a lot of TV, and I'm in the green room one night getting ready to go on and do my show. Who's there? Tom's dad, right? That's
mm-hmm.
how I start. Really nice guy. Of course, I got to ask a few questions about Giselle, like a knucklehead. Is she really that hot in person? Like a complete idiot.
Of course, I
was a little younger. Not much.
BT.
And he's like, wow, she's a wonderful mom. He deflected, but he was laughing.
Yeah,
but the point is, you know, I said, what is it like being Tom Brady's dad? He said, you know, listen, on draft day, all we hoped was to merely get drafted, maybe make a couple of $100,000 for a couple of years, hold the clipboard, and then go to Wall Street. And I preface all that to set it up with, as accomplished, and he is the GOAT, as accomplished as he is, in his most honest moment, do you think Tom Brady, has he ever said, or can he say, yeah, I envision this? He's got to be surprised, if not stunned, by his own personal accomplishments, right?
Oh, I don't think there's any question. In fact, when it came time to picking a college, Tom Sr. wanted Tom to go to Cal because he wanted him to be able to play, you know, 30 minutes from their house on Sundays and then play golf. I mean, on Saturdays and then play golf together on Sundays. And he was crushed when Tom went to Michigan. But the interesting thing is he told me the only advice he gave Tom was, I want you to pick a school that you'd be proud to have a degree from, because let's be realistic, you're not going to have a career as a professional athlete.
Wow, yeah.
And that's in my podcast. And to hear Tom Sr. say, you know, that nobody that he didn't anticipate, and I'm sure Tom didn't, you know, I guess Tom had an awful lot of confidence, but whether he thought he can even make it to the NFL, you know, is debatable. But Tom Sr. was trying to be realistic with his son and just say, listen, you know, the chances of you having an NFL career, you know, no less be a starter,
yeah,
and no less win a championship are so remote that pick a school that you're going to be really proud to have the degree and you can use it
smart
for whatever your career is going to be. So I think nobody would possibly anticipate that he would have won six championships, and just the fact that he won one, you know, exceeded anybody's expectations.
Yeah, let's move to the current state. Not necessarily the relationship with Tom Brady and Coach Belichick, but I think we can all assume that you mentioned it wasn't super friendly. And when Tom decided to move on and go to Tampa Bay, I guess it was a media driven thing or a fan driven thing. Well, who needed who? Who needed whom? Basically, was it Tom needed Bill or did Bill need Tom? And maybe we're seeing a little bit of it now with the Buccaneers thriving the way that they are and the Patriots scuffling the way that they are. As you look at Tom's decision to move away from the Patriots and I guess say Bill Belichick and go someplace else, which was completely different, are you surprised that he didn't want to, you know, like fulfill it there and finish his career there and instead go someplace else? Because it's odd for an all-time great, even though we see it all the time, but an all-time great like Tom, who still had some left, to just want to leave. It felt like he wanted to leave.
Yeah, I'm, you know, right up until, I remember it was a Monday night that he came out with that statement on Instagram or whatever, or Tuesday after meeting with Kraft on Monday night. Right up until that point, I was convinced he was going to stay.
Me too.
Because I thought so much. I thought it meant so much to him to play his entire career in one uniform and do something that, you know, his hero Joe Montana didn't do and his other hero Steve Young didn't do. And despite, you know, his relationship deteriorating somewhat with Belichick, and I know it was deteriorating with Josh McDaniels, I really thought he would just find a way to stick it out because of his loyalty to Robert Kraft. But I think that he knew what it was going to be like in New England because the weapons that he had to work with in 2019, those guys wouldn't even make the team. Other than Edelman, they wouldn't even make the team in Tampa.
Yeah.
And he knew that Belichick was not loading up for him in the offseason, and he didn't want his end his career like that. I mean, he had an okay year last year that got bad down the stretch, but I really thought it was a product of Belichick not surrounding him with talent. And, you know, he handpicked the Bucs. He studied that roster. He knew they had a good defense. He knew they had weapons, and he knew Arians was a really good offensive coach. And you have to say that he made the right career decision considering how he's doing and how the Patriots are doing.
Gary, you know what's funny? Tiki asked you a question, and I was going to ask you the exact opposite question. I was going to actually frame it. Do you think that, and you can still answer it because it's probably a different answer. Do you think he regrets not leaving New England sooner based on
interesting,
the jovial nature? Just a different vibe and you know, the story that you never had a beer with Belichick. You think now as a 40, so whatever he is, 42, 43, he looks back and says, man, why did I stifle myself the last 5-6 years?
You know, that's a great question. And I think considering what's happened this season and, you know, if you follow Tom closely this year, he's much more outspoken on some things. And he's, you know, that interview he did with Howard Stern, and I listened to most of it, was over 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, it was Tom Brady unplugged. And he never would have done that if he was still in New England.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I think he stayed there as long as he did. And even though he wasn't even getting market value on his contract, because he thought that he could still win and win Super Bowls there. Not just win, but win Super Bowls. And I think that the last couple of years, that confidence had started to dissipate because he saw what was happening with the roster. And if here's the thing. If he had to do it over again and he knew there was life away from New England and maybe the grass was actually greener, that he might have done it earlier in his career. Because it's one thing to win. It's another thing to win and have fun at it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was never joyful. What did he say to Al Michaels in the middle of the 2019 season when NBC had a game? He said, you know, he's the most unhappy 8-0 quarterback in the world.
Yes.
I mean, that says everything you really need to know there. And
for him to pick up at the age of 43, you know, with two kids at home, and then he has his third child who's with him a lot, and he lived right. I mean, I'm telling you, he lived right next door to Robert Kraft in Brookline. They can walk. I'm not sure how big Brady's property is, if he can actually walk from one to the other. It just might be a really long walk because they're both mansions.
Yeah.
They're literally next door to each other. And for him, it was like living next door to his second father.
Yeah.
So it really took a lot for him to give up everything he had built and to be a Boston hero like Larry Bird and Bill Russell and Bobby Orr and
Big Poppy
and Ted Williams, and then just pick it up and say, I'm going to finish somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, that just shows really how unhappy he was in New England.
Yeah, no, you're right. Your podcast, and it's brand new. It's out. You go find it wherever you find podcasts. I got it on Apple Podcasts here. It's called The GOAT, Tom Brady. Very simple. It's easy to find. Last one for you, Gary. Now, you mentioned him living close to Robert Kraft. I know how close he is to Robert Kraft. I've met them collectively over the years. It is like a father relationship. If he needs to go stay in the city, he goes stays at Robert's place in Manhattan. How is New England ultimately going to view Tom Brady? It doesn't change anything because he left for Tampa, correct? He's still going to be the greatest of all time there as well. There's no ire, correct?
Well, I don't think – I think right now, as the Patriots are struggling and Tom is thriving in Tampa, I think the hardcore Patriot fans right now might feel a little resentment for Tom for not sticking it out and might feel jilted. And I'm really disappointed that Tampa doesn't play in New England this year. And if they did, you know, it would be great if there was a full house. And I think they might play there next year. So I think that I think the fans were really disappointed that he left. And but, I mean, how can you get mad at a guy?
You don't.
When
you don't.
Like Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're right. You don't. Went to nine. You know what I mean?
You don't.
Yeah. I think what you see happen with a lot of these Patriots, and, you know, Richard Seymour, and there's a really long list of them, where Belichick always gets rid of a guy a year too early, then a year too late.
Yep.
And there always seems to be some hard feelings. But then they get welcomed back. And that's one of the reasons that Belichick doesn't become close to his players is because, you know, he knows at some point he's going to have to make a really difficult decision to tell a guy, you know, he's trading him or he's cutting him because he doesn't think, you know, he can play to that level anymore. But he always embraces them when they come back. And Tom Brady will get an ovation when he goes back there, either when he plays there next year, if there's fans, hopefully there will be fans in the stands, or when he goes back there after he retires, we'll hear the ovation. It'll be so loud, we'll hear it around the country.
Yeah.
Right now, I think because the two teams are going in opposite directions, they probably consider him, you know, somewhat of a traitor because Boston fans are so passionate. But when things settle down and they can look at things realistically and put it in better perspective, I mean, 9 Super Bowls, six championships in 20 years, making the Patriots the model franchise. I mean, how can Patriots fans have anything – no, but love for that guy.
They can. And listen, we have to go. But I would even submit that right now. And this is a great spot, Gary. Good job. I would submit that because the Pats are so bad that their affinity for Tom never wavered. If they were 5-1 or 6-2, whatever it is, they're, Tom, we don't, Tommy, we didn't need that. He left us. We don't need, look at Cam. Cam's great. The fact that they stink and they're getting worse by the week only, you know, further illuminates just how, not that you need it, but if they needed a reminder, just how great Brady was for them and how lucky they had it. So if there's any ill will towards Tom, they got to get over themselves because it's a clown show if that's the case. There's no way that that's
the
case.
I know you got to go. I just want to throw one other thing in there.
Go for it.
The biggest surprise of the season so far to me is that Julian Edelman somehow didn't wind up in Tampa.
Yeah, he's hurt now, too.
I know, right? Oh,
I know.
Well, Gary, go ahead, Teague.
I was going to say they have that little mini Edelman. What's that kid's name down in Tampa?
That's Scotty Miller.
Yeah, Scotty. They got the mini Edelman. They don't need Julian Edelman.
And since having Antonio Brown, we didn't even talk about that. But I'm really interested to see, you know, how long he lasts down there.
We'll see. The GOAT Tom Brady podcast. Gary Meyer has been around the game for a long time. He's had some big-time projects. This sounds really good.
Yeah.
Great chat. Thanks
Looking
a lot,
forward
Gary.
To it. Thank you, Gary.
BT, Tiki, thanks so much. Take care, guys, and be safe.
You got it, pal. That was awesome. I'm happy we did that. Tiki, we're a little late, so let's break. Tom Herman got dealt a blow off the field that could really impact on the field. And it's not going great on the field. We'll talk about Texas football, what happened there. That's next. Hickey and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, no better place to get out on all the football action than with our friends over at DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Pretty easy stuff. Easy if you're good. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means a little more with DraftKings. It's simple. Pick your lineup, stand to the salary cap, manage the numbers, all right, manage the money, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement, to the juice of watching the game, quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. Now, if you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? It's simple. Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app right now and use my name, code Tierney. That's Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Get hooked up. For a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all the fun, all the action, all the potential wins. Enter code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y. Get a free shot at the money and all the prizes with your first deposit. You got to download the app, though. It's easy to navigate. It's great. I got it on my phone. It's simple, and it's effective. Code Tierney, only at DraftKings. That's code Tierney, T-I-E-R-N-E-Y, only at DraftKings. Making it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. DraftKings.com. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Want to know what's really scary? See just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to Geico and save. All right, Tiki and Tierney back here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Tom Herman got hit hard. He got hit hard. The nation's number one recruit in 2022, kid from South Lake, Texas, is no longer going to Texas. Now, you know, we've had Tom on the show a few times. We had him at the height, I think at the height of the pandemic we had him on. We had him on at some point like March and April on the show. You know, talking about recruiting, and you couldn't comment on this young man. I don't even think it had happened yet, but he's too young to even comment on that. But Tom Herman's been somebody that we've talked a lot about on the show because, you know, all right, we're kind of waiting for Texas to rip off that 10-1 season and kind of get back in the midst of the spotlight here.
Yeah.
Instead, they always seem to stub their toe. They lose a game that they shouldn't, and here we are. They're 3-2. They lost two games in a row at one point this season. They bounced back. They beat Baylor this past week. Wasn't overly impressive.
Mm-mm.
They won by 10 or 11 points, you know, 20, whatever. I think it was 10 or 11 points. And now they got OK State coming up. Now, if they win this game, this changes the entire tone. I'd be a little surprised if they win this game. But the point being, if they lose, they're now 3-3, and this is year four or five?
Four, yeah.
For Herman. I mean, and now you have a kid who committed and now decommits. It's just a bad look, and it just kind of reinforces that maybe he's not the guy.
Yeah, no, look, there's a couple that have fallen apart here. A long time, there was another commit, Billy Bowman, who was a two-way standout, also from Texas. He decommitted a couple weeks ago. He's expected to go to Oklahoma, which is really insult to injury.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This kid.
I'm going to go to Carolina. Nah, I'm going to go play for Duke instead.
I know, right? Seriously. Quinn Ewers is this kid's name. He's one of, I mean, he's being talked about as a generational talent, like Trevor Lawrence was a generational talent. He's five-star. He's big. He's strong. His TD to interception ratio was like 43-3 or
45 touchdowns,
45-3, which is ridiculous.
As a sophomore.
Which is ridiculous. By the way, they shouldn't be able to commit this early. That's a different story. But
point, by the way, you tweeted, you wrote us that. Why do you agree with that? I don't know if I agree with that. Go ahead, real quick.
Because I'll tell you, so here's the situation. Right now with Quinn Ewers?
Yep.
Ewers, I think it's Ewers. I'm going to say Ewers.
I believe it's Ewers, too.
He's a lifelong Texan, Texas Longhorns fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it's like, I live right here in Texas. I go to this big 6A high school. I'm a star. You know, Texas is where I'm supposed to go. Right, at least that's the narrative that everyone that's ever been around him has said. You're going to Texas, right? It's no different. And you know, for me growing up in Roanoke, if they had said, "Hey, Virginia Tech is that's your place," and if I had committed as a sophomore to Virginia Tech, not really knowing what my future was going to look like or what I wanted to do, and it was just because my dad went there, it was 30, 40 minutes away from me, and you know, Virginia Tech's the power. It would have been the wrong decision for me. And ultimately, in Quinn, you were statement. That's basically what he said.
Yep.
He's like, you know, maybe I made this decision too quick. I want to, you know, I need to back up. And but the problem is when a sophomore commits like that, there are, you know, maybe a 4-star or, you know, another 5-star that was also going to commit as a junior or a senior to Texas that now says, yeah, I'm not going to go there because I'm going to get supplanted in a year.
It's,
you know,
okay.
You know what I mean? And so it's
kind of like Chris Sims and
that's exactly right.
And
in Tennessee. Yes, I forget
Chris Sims and a little guy. He's great.
In Texas.
Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite. Exactly right. So it just it's really screws with programs. Now, with that being said, I think this confirms that Tom Herman's tenure at Texas is not over, but it's teetering, BT. Mm-hmm. When you're getting major stars who, by all rights, should just walk in the door because they're supposed to walk in the door. They've committed as sophomores. They think that you're the right fit, that the program is the right fit for them. And then, you know, five games in right now, they're saying, yeah, I don't really believe in the future of the Longhorns program. That's a bad sign for the Texas Longhorns.
It's a horrendous sign. Just to be clear about, you know, your reluctance to you know, stamp the approval of committing that early. You mean from the player's point of view, obviously, but see, from the school's point of view, like, it's not binding. So whether a player commits, you verbals, that's fine, because you can't sign a scholarship as a sophomore anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
So you verbal. Okay, you can go back on your word. That's fine. It's not ironclad.
But it's just wrong.
Well, it's not ideal. Here's the problem.
Yeah.
And you're right. There might be somebody who's a year older who wanted to go play there that now says, well, I'm not going there because this kid's going to come in and take my job anyway, if he thinks like that. Some might say, I'm the man. I'm going there no matter what. And this kid will watch me be a superstar. That's how some people think.
Yeah.
Others say, I'm going to go there and lose my job.
What was what's the guy who transferred to Texas Tech or wherever from Clemson because Trevor Lawrence, I forget
There's been a ton. Well, Joe Burrow left Ohio State. There's been a ton of them.
Who was it just right before Trevor Lawrence? And I'm forgetting his name.
I don't know. But what I was going to say, like,
Kelly Bryant. Kelly
Bryant.
And Trevor Lawrence is there. You're like, oh, great.
Hurt his ankle. Kelly Bryant, for sure.
No, he didn't hurt his ankle. He wasn't quite good enough.
After. The other problem, too, though, is like if you're trying to construct a program here and you get a commitment, in this case, Quinn Ewers, you know, class of 22, you begin to really throttle, but you don't pursue anybody else
That's
for the quarterback position. So now,
that's exactly right. Because you can't. Because what are you going to say to a kid? Hey, compete with this kid who you have no chance of beating.
No. Yeah, nor are you going to say, hey, you're my plan B in the
that's right.
Unfortunate circumstances. Quinn changes his mind. We still want you. So, you know, you lose out on this kid, Quinn Ewers. And again, it's the young man's right to choose his mind. Mm-hmm. It's not binding. And if it is binding, that's different, but it's not. But now, you know, Tom Herman's got and in the recruiting cycle, it's all relationship laden. And if you get in with a kid late, you know, not that you can't win, and you could also do something illegal, not just to anybody. It is what it is. To circumvent maybe a lack of depth in the relationship. You could always give money and cheat, like a lot of people do. But if you don't do that, you're trying to run a clean ship, you're dead. Because once you're, you know, a couple of steps behind in the relationship department, young men and women are impressionable.
Yes.
And when you get in with a kid as a freshman or a sophomore, that trust, that rapport, and you win, and that's kind of hard to penetrate that if you're another kid or a coach trying to get in with a kid who has a tight relationship with somebody else. So
yeah. No, you're right.
You can always get somebody to flip, but usually you do something dirty.
Yeah, this is a huge week for Texas, too, by the way.
Huge.
Because they started their season 3-0, or 2-0, I should say. They beat UTEP and they beat Texas Tech, but then they lost
TCU.
To TCU and Oklahoma back-to-back. They beat Baylor, as you just mentioned, unconvincingly. Yeah. And now they have Oklahoma State, who is the lone undefeated in the Big 12. So, I mean, if they end up going 3-3 in the midpoint of this odd season, and they lose to not necessarily a rival, but Oklahoma State is kind of a rival, at least recruiting rival.
Yep.
I mean, we're going to talk about Tom Herman being on the hot seat.
And at that point, it's going to be justified and fair.
That's right. That's right.
You don't pay somebody $8, $9 million to come there and go to, you know,
and
mid-level
be average.
Bowls.
Yeah, and be average.
I just want to see the spread on that game real quick now that we're talking about
3.
Is it 3?
3 OK State.
Pretty close, actually.
Yeah.
I would have said more like 5.5 or so. All right. Coming up here, Teague. So the Panthers are pretty interesting. They're not there yet, obviously. Christian McCaffrey's not playing tonight. Mm-hmm. But week 8 does begin. And, you know, Matt Rhule, talk about college coaches, Matt Rhule has so easily, seemingly transitioned to the highest level. I don't know. Maybe it opens up a real conversation and door for other coaches to jump in when you start seeing a guy like Matt Rhule kind of have success right away.
Yeah.
Maybe it reduces some of the stigma if you're reluctant to hire a college coach. But we'll get into the game tonight. We'll talk about that a little bit, see what's happening. Unfortunately, McCaffrey's not playing, but it's probably the smart move. Get a chance to watch Teddy Bridgewater, some other good players. So we'll hit that. Week 8 begins, and we'll do that after Axe Update, which is right now. Here's Rich.
Okay, Tiki and Tierney back here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. So Week 8 tonight, there'll be some players out there that you have a little fantasy value with, you know. Falcons got a ton of receivers. You might have Matty Ice on your squad. Robbie Anderson's having a good year. DJ Moore, got some players out there. I mean, not winning records necessarily, or not certainly in the case of the Falcons, they've been a mess. But Carolina's the more interesting story because we've spent a lot of time on Atlanta, and we'll see who becomes their coach, and it was probably time for change, and do they maybe move on from Matt Ryan eventually? Probably not this offseason. It's too punitive financially, but maybe the year after that. The Carolina Panthers are interesting for a few reasons. Number one, it was proven quickly that, you know, Matt Rhule, just his transition from college game to the pros has been just about as seamless as we've seen.
Yeah.
Like he belongs in the NFL, and he spent the year in the NFL, as we know, as an assistant back in the day. And everywhere he's gone, you know, Temple, historically tough place to win, he won. Baylor, you know, corruption, scandal-ridden, he won. The guy's a superstar. So the funny thing, I don't know if you agree with me on this, the biggest thing that I have about the Carolina Panthers, you ready?
Go ahead.
He's their quarterback.
Why?
I don't think he's much more than average.
It doesn't have to be much more than average, though.
Well, no. It does eventually if you want to win something big.
Not necessarily. Yeah, as long as you build the team correctly. I was having a conversation with my buddy Kyle Bailey, who does a show down in an intercom station down in North Carolina, and that conversation came up, and you know he asked, "Is Teddy Bridgewater a franchise quarterback?"
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is probably no. No, the answer is no. He's not your franchise quarterback. But in reality, do you need a franchise quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Now,
I think now you do.
History will tell you that, and I've done this, the research
on
this, we talked about it many times, it's 72 or 3%, and probably more now because Pat Mahomes is headed there as well. So 74% of Super Bowl winning teams have had a quarterback that's in the Hall of Fame or going to be in the Hall of Fame. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Peyton Manning, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. Those guys aren't in yet, but they're heading there.
I mean,
if not, they're right on the edge of being, Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And if that's not the case, in almost every other example of a team that won a Super Bowl, your defense was exceptional. Like Brad Johnson with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in 2002. That was one of the best defenses, certainly of the decade, you know, probably top 10 of all time. Same thing with the Ravens when they beat us in 2000s with Trent Dilfer at quarterback, or Doug Williams in 1988 Super Bowl, or Mark Rippon with the then Redskins in their Super Bowl. Those defenses were elite. And so for the Panthers, who have always, now it's different regime, clearly, but who have always been more centered on the defensive side of the ball, if they build defensively the way that they historically have, then Teddy Bridgewater doesn't need to be, you know, a world beater. Teddy Bridgewater just needs to be good, serviceable, and explosive in moments when he needs to be, like he was last weekend against the Saints. You know, there's some big plays that they made in that game, not because, you know, they threw a screen pass to Christian McCaffrey, for example, or Deebo Samuel. Curtis Samuel. It was big plays down the field with big arms by Teddy Bridgewater. So he's capable of being a big play quarterback. I don't think he needs to be the franchise quarterback in order for this team to ultimately win.
You see, I think that the door to win a title with the defense being the primary strength of your team is shut.
I don't think it's closing. I think it's shut.
I don't know, BT. The Patriots.
Where's the evidence to the contrary?
The Patriots.
No, that's Tom Brady.
Come on, BT.
What?
You watched it. Don't tell me you don't remember watching the Super Bowl with the New England Patriots beating the Los Angeles Rams 17-3.
Jared Goff wasn't ready to do it. He was a kid. He was in diapers.
He was confused. They had one of the best offenses in football that season. I don't want to hear confused. They were confused.
He wasn't ready.
They were confused by Bill Belichick's defense. Belichick's defenses have won Super Bowls the entirety of his career.
This
20-year run has been about defense. We want to make it about Tom Brady, but it's not just about Tom Brady.
But the first year Tom Brady's not there, they're terrible.
I will respectfully disagree with you, BT. I don't.
When you say respectfully, I can't even argue with you.
I don't need to get in an argument about this because I know history tells me the Philadelphia Eagles, the one year
they don't have Brady, they're terrible.
Forget the Patriots. Who cares about
the Patriots? You brought them up.
Six guys on their defense opted out of the season. BT,
without Tom Brady, Belichick's got nothing. And you know that.
Dante Hightower, Patrick Chung.
There are good.
They're elite. Gilmore. They're elite players that opted out of that defense.
I understand.
The Patriots stink. The Patriots stink because they don't have talent. They don't have offensive talent. Yes, their defense is compromised because three or four of them opted out of the season, but their offensive talent is gross.
And I think
Cam Newton is hurt. They won the damn Super Bowl with their defense, BT.
They won. Okay. They would have won zero.
I don't need to argue with you about this.
But my point is, Teague, today's NFL, you're moving on from, a point that I think people would want to hear is debate. It's not an argument. It's a debate. He would win nothing without Tom Brady. I'm not saying the defense wasn't great. I'm not saying the defense wasn't influential. But those third and nine throws, the savvy. Tom Brady's the greatest of all time.
Yes.
So you can't disconnect the GOAT status and then didn't really need Tom Brady. He had a great defense. They would have won nothing without Tom Brady.
I didn't say. It's a team game, BT. This isn't basketball. This isn't baseball. This isn't Clayton Kershaw taking the mound and throwing a gem. If you have one great side of your team and the other side is garbage, you're losing. I don't care what level you're playing at. Whether it's week six or whether it's Super Bowl Sunday, the New England Patriots have always had both. And when they won the Super Bowl, this most recent one, their last one against the Los Angeles Rams, it was because of their defense. I don't care what you want to say. They had Tom Brady. They won because of their defense. They shut down the number one offense in football that season because of their defense.
Don't tell me it's all about the quarterback.
I'm
giving you that. I agree with that. With that part, specific to the Rams, you told me the day after that Super Bowl that Jared Goff was not ready for that moment.
No.
Which somewhat
I didn't say Jared Goff wasn't ready for that moment.
Well, I'm saying he wasn't ready too.
I said Sean McVay was not ready for that moment. He was outcoached by a superior defensive mind.
Oh, Goff was horrendous. He was terrible.
Sean McVay was worse. Trust me. Sean McVay was worse. And so my point is, defense does still matter. The Pittsburgh Steelers are good this year because of their defense. The Baltimore Ravens are good this year because of their defense. There's certain teams that are good because they're not because of their defense. The Seattle Seahawks, they don't play defense at all.
And they have one loss.
But they don't play defense at all. I agreed, but who have they played? You know what I mean? It's at the end of the day.
Aside from the Titans. So, and by the way, they could have lost the Titans game, and they gave up 39. They gave up a ton of points to the Eagles.
The question is, do I think that the Carolina Panthers, because this is what this is we're talking about. Did the Carolina Panthers, do they have a chance to win anything with Teddy Bridgewater? My answer is yes. This year, no. But do they eventually have a chance to win something with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback? I say yes. He is a leader. These guys believe in him. They got to put the right team around him. And yes, maybe it means building an elite, like NFL-defining defense. Mm-hmm. Yes. But it's the easier way than going to try to find my franchise quarterback, which so many teams have swung and missed on, including the Jets multiple times.
For sure.
And maybe the Giants now, whoever it may be. There's teams that have done this over and over and over again. But if you have a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater, who is like so many steps above serviceable, mm-hmm. he's not elite. but he doesn't need to be. If you build the right team around a guy like that who everybody likes and rallies around,
yep.
and then you have a Christian McCaffrey who clearly you're hanging on to because you just paid him, you know, half the franchise, and you put a defense together, then you can win in a non-conventional, we need a franchise quarterback way. That's all I'm saying. So when you ask me about Teddy Bridgewater, I mm-hmm. like him as a quarterback.
I like him too.
I like him as
– Me too.
The guy who can take your team to the Super Bowl. But in order to do it, you better be really smart how you build the rest of your team, because he's not Big Ben. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady.
Not Mahomes. Not Drew Brees. Not Russell Wilson.
Peyton Manning. Or even Eli in the postseason. He's not any of that. He's not any of that. But it doesn't matter.
He's not Lamar Jackson.
No, well, actually, he's not.
No, he's not Lamar Jackson.
No, he's not. And it's not even about him. If the Panthers are going to win, it's going to be because there's great players around him, and they still have to find that. And they're young. We know that they're rebuilding.
Well, they drafted, eight guys on defense, so they won't have to pay their defensive players for a while, which yes. behooves them in terms of, and bodes well for them building a team long term. Listen, I like Teddy. I've always liked Teddy. Teddy, to me, has got – yeah. listen, there's always the outlier. There's the anomaly. There's things happen. I get mm-hmm. that. But if you're asking me, like, you know – what I'll answer this is to answer it probably most accurately. Mm-hmm. I'll put him on my team, and let's say my team's got the defense and the coach. And can I see Teddy Bridgewater winning a Super Bowl? I can't. I could see him, winning 10 games, maybe 11 in mm-hmm. the right situation, being as you say, and you're right, 2, 3, 4 steps beyond competent, beyond functional, protecting the football, making the occasional play with his wheels, even though he's not Lamar Jackson, but he's got enough wiggle to stretch the chains. All those good leader, all that stuff. I really like him. But I see him fizzling out, when he even gets to the playoffs. Because, by the way, he's never really proven that he can lead any team. The Vikings, he was ascending, but then he got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all a lot of kind of like projections. We haven't seen it yet. I just see him eventually walking into somebody's crib, because I don't think they'll ever be 14-2 or 13-3. That is required to host throughout, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to walk into somebody's house, whether it's Russ's or if he's in the AFC, it's Mahomes or whatever it might be, and he's going to lose.
Yep.
I mean, that's what I see. That's what I see for him. But you could do a lot worse. And he's a steady. He's what he is, Deke? He's a very steadying influence and figure for a rebuilding team where you can still win with him. And he could build up morale, and yep. he enhances a lot.
Look, they don't.
But he's
feel
got
like,
physical limits.
They don't feel like a rebuilding team. I know that they.
No,
are.
They don't.
They don't feel like a rebuilding team. They're 3-4. They've lost some pretty close games. They lost to the New Orleans Saints by a field goal, by a possession. All of them have been possessions. They lost to a very good Chicago Bears team, defensive-wise at least, by 5 points. By a touchdown in that game. And then they lost early to Tampa Bay, who was better than I think we knew that they were, and the Vegas Raiders, which mm-hmm. is with their first game of the season with a new coaching staff, a rookie offensive coordinator, a rookie defensive coordinator, and so many new pieces. So, I mean, I can forgive almost all of their losses because they weren't blown out in any way, and we thought they were rebuilding.
For sure.
And they beat the Chargers, they beat the Cardinals, and they beat the Falcons. So, mm-hmm. I have some faith in the Carolina Panthers. Not that I think they're going anywhere this year, but they're a fun team, and they're going to be fun to watch tonight.
If you're a fan of the Panthers, you're feeling pretty good because you're in the right hands with your head coach. And he's got 7 years
mm-hmm.
and seemingly an owner that's going to stay out of his way and let him do what he wants in terms of building up the football. It seems like the owner's going to cut the checks. No, Panthers football is going to go up a lot quicker than it goes down. Calais Campbell joins us next to the Ravens, third hour coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.